Maybe you've experienced this at some point. Life pops up a silent internal error message that basically says your emotional operating system has encountered a fatal flaw. And no matter how many times you restart, the update won't install. This is usually the moment where you think, great, that's all, folks. I guess this is how it ends. Not with a bang, but with Netflix asking if I'm still watching. And I get it because I've been there. I've been that person who stared at a plate of food like it was a legal document. I've been in a headspace where I heard my favorite songs and felt absolutely nothing. It's kind of like eating emotional cardboard or something. Friends invite you out, and then you start Googling side effects of solitude to justify canceling again. And maybe it's not that life is really that bad. It's just muted. Like someone put your existence in low power mode. Now, I think this is where most of us would low key panic because we assume that we're clinically depressed or dead inside or spiritually malfunctioning. And then we go hunting for some sort of answer, a diagnosis. Maybe we take antidepressants. We look for inspirational quotes, whatever. Anything with a calming font. But the thing you're probably not going to hear from anybody is that maybe there's actually nothing wrong with you. All right, let me explain. Maybe what's happening is that something old in you is dying, and that's not really a bad thing, in spite of how painful it is. So, most of what we call joy is like a cosmic itch scratch transaction. Hunger, food, relief. Loneliness, attention, relief. You get the idea. But this isn't really joy. It's more like symptom management. And when you get emotionally older, not necessarily birthday older, you start to see the trick that the itch and the scratch actually came in the same box. And once you see that, that the old joy stopped working, once you see it, you can't unsee the gears behind the curtain. And that's when you enter this weird limbo phase, the mush phase, where everything feels flat and you feel like a badly written character in your own story. But, here's the thing. That numbness, it isn't the end. It's the in-between stage, the transition. So it's the part where the old version of you is evaporating and the new one hasn't quite clocked in yet. And the reason it feels like death is because part of you is dying. And people tend to romanticize this process of transformation, but they skip the middle, the part where you feel like a sock full of lukewarm oatmeal. But that mush, it isn't really a malfunction. It's just, it's part of the process. It's what happens when your mind stops running on that cheap, fast-burning faux joy and starts looking for something real, something substantial. So the joy didn't really disappear. It just changed addresses. All right. Nobody warns you that when your life stops being powered by cheap thrills and being governed by superficial standards, everything starts tasting like cardboard at that point. And not metaphorical cardboard. I mean literal $17 salad cardboard. So you walk into a coffee shop expecting a spiritual awakening, and instead you get hot bean water and or with anxiety flavoring. And once your brain realizes most of your so-called joy was just various forms of escapism and self-medication, the old tricks just don't work anymore. It's like discovering the magician is your alcoholic uncle, and the rabbit is actually a ferret with stage fright. And here's where it gets uncomfortable. Most of what we think of as so-called happiness is just interrupting a baseline of discomfort. So again, here's the basic equation. Hungry, eat. Lonely, text. Insecure, post and wait for strangers to hit the like. We think of this as pleasure, right? But really, it's just, I've stopped suffering for 15 seconds. And when you've gone through your long, dark night of the soul and you see this pattern clearly for the first time, the spell is broken. And for a while, you might think that you're the one who's broken. I did. And I gave it a name. Early onset emotional nihilism. But you're not actually broken. You're just painfully outgrowing the cheap stuff. And this is where most people freak out. And they have a reaction. And it's understandable. So they go back and they try to, revive the old excitement again by blasting their senses with the old routines, like new relationships or hobbies or narcotics or whatever it takes to get back to that comfortable delusion. But that urgency, that frantic need to feel something, that's the real addiction happening. It's like you spent your whole life wearing noise-canceling headphones, playing gentle white noise. And then one day the battery dies, and suddenly you hear raw, unfiltered existence No comfortable hum, no emotional insulation. And at first it's jarring, like the silence that happens after a breakup. Now, of course, you think something's missing, but nothing's missing. You're just finally hearing your life without all the static for the first time. So the old pleasures, they don't land anymore because they were designed for the version of you that needed the noise. But this version of you doesn't. Though you haven't quite learned this new fuel yet, so everything feels like an existential dead battery. And it feels like depression. So this is the painful detox process. And detox always feels like death. And it's not that you're losing joy. You're losing your dependency on stimulation and distraction. And that's the cardboard phase. The box that the real thing comes in. Have you ever woken up and grabbed your phone before your brain boots up? And for one glorious second, the world actually felt sane. But then the screen lights up and says, nope. We've slipped another inch into the metaphysical quicksand. That's what living now feels like. And I used to think reality was some kind of like IKEA furniture, you know, slightly flimsy in a mundane, minimalist way, but at least pretending to hold together. But lately, it feels like we lost the instruction manual and half the screws rolled under the fridge. And for some reason, everyone's pretending that this is normal. So I'll listen to people talk about politics and medicine, the economy, science. Topics that used to require evidence. And I realize they've given up on the idea that truth exists outside of their own skull. Because we've reached this point now where reality has become like a choose-your-own-adventure book written by someone who failed basic cause and effect. And I used to think I was losing my mind until I realized that pretty much everyone else is losing their mind too. And there's this this creeping sense that we're living in a suspiciously counterfeit version of civilization. All the pieces are there. The government, the commerce, institutions and whatnot, but everything feels off somehow, like it was all assembled by someone who just skimmed the instructions in another language. And it seems that people these days, they're not only emotionally fragile, they're existentially fragile. They're trying to hold together their private bubble of reality, and they're just praying that it doesn't pop. So reality, it used to be a shared experience, and now it's like the Wi-Fi is cutting out for half the population. nowadays, you know, when you're having a conversation with someone, you think you're talking about the same world, but then you quickly realize that the other person downloaded a completely different version overnight. And unfortunately, when we lose a shared reality, we don't just lose truth, we lose sanity. One unhinged conversation at a time. So I used to think the internet was essentially just a tool. A rather crazy, addictive tool, yeah. But still something that we utilized. How naive of me. Because it turns out we outsourced the definition of real to algorithms we didn't even read the terms and conditions for. We just went ahead and hit agree like idiots, you know, like we always do. So every morning, billions of people wake up and wait for their phone to tell them what matters. The algorithm isn't trying to inform you. It's trying to stimulate you. Basically, meaning has now been replaced with engagement. It's as if reality is a house and the algorithm walks in, knocks down the load-bearing walls, and it says, relax. Open concept is trending now. I remember when news used to mean something that happened in the world. But now it's just something that happens to your feed. And suddenly, reality became internal and personalized. And it became fragmented. So instead of actually experiencing the world, we're experiencing our dopamine-curated aquarium version of it. Imagine an unpaid intern in a server room scrolling humanity's diary. Every time someone posts something calm or rational, the intern sighs and deletes it. Sorry, buddy. No engagement potential. Try a meltdown or something a little more melodramatic. So, naturally, the loudest, most obnoxiously vapid voices rise to the top because they're profitable. Not because they're true. And the result is that we have millions of micro-realities all clashing and contradicting each other. I mean, it goes without saying, you can't build a society like that. And it's obviously not sustainable. It's kind of like trying to coordinate a marching band where everyone's playing a different song from a different decade in a different key. It's absolute dissonance. So, is it any wonder that everything feels fake when we're in this process of replacing our shared reality with algorithmic mood swings? When everything stops making sense, when joy has gone flat and nothing direct or distracts you anymore, that's actually an invitation. It's not the end. I remember sitting on my balcony this one time watching a bird doing absolutely nothing remarkable. It wasn't building a nest or hunting. It was just existing. And for a moment, being alive felt enough. Not thrilling or joyful or even terrible, just enough. You know, most of us are addicted to stimulation. We confuse agitation with aliveness. But once the machinery collapses and the old joys fall apart, I think you get something rare. It's silence. But it's a silence with presence. It's reality without any commentary. And yeah, at first it feels like death. But really, you've just stopped running, finally. You've stopped lying to yourself. And in that pause, you start noticing the absurdly ordinary. Like a patch of sunlight, a breeze, just the background hum of being alive. It's not exciting. It's not supposed to be. But it is real. And the pretense is gone. It's like you've watched fireworks your whole life, and someone finally says, stop, look at the grass. And it's so quiet, you almost miss it. This is what's on the other side of the cardboard phase. It's clarity and perspective. It's not excitement. And this clarity can be terrifying because the delusion is gone. The distractions that go with it are gone. And in a sense, you're left staring at the void. But in that void is the freedom that nothing ultimately matters except life in this present moment. And that's the paradox here, is there's an eternity in the present moment. You know, most people are never going to get here. They're going to keep chasing fireworks, signing algorithmic contracts they didn't read. But if you can stand in the quiet long enough without panicking, I think you find something no one can give you or take away from you. It's a sense of okayness, a sense of enough. So I guess the question at this point is, what do you do when nothing excites you anymore, and when your dopamine receptors have basically filed a complaint? Honestly, not much. And that's actually the whole point. Trying to recapture the old joys only makes the flatness deeper. It's like pouring hot sauce on cold oatmeal. It doesn't fix anything. It just makes it painful. What works is probably infuriatingly simple. Stop trying. Just sit in the flatness. Let life be enough without performing for you or you performing for it. Brush your teeth, make coffee, notice the morning light, show up. It's not about trying to feel good. You're learning to see clearly. The old pleasures were just smoke and mirrors. And now you're finally seeing the room without the fog machine. Try to create small rituals that don't demand excitement. Read one page of a book. Sit with your thoughts without trying to solve them all the time. Notice the strange, chaotic humanity around you without reacting to it. This isn't about apathy. It's about presence and awareness. And this one's important. Laugh at it. I've said it a million times, but you know, if you can learn to laugh at the absurdity of society pretending that it's sane, you know, laugh at the panic you feel when joy doesn't perform on command. I think humor is like a salve. Eventually, if you let yourself live in this space long enough, something shifts. The flatness itself starts to contain life. It's not exciting life, but it's authentic life. It's quiet, unremarkable, but it's steady. There's like a bedrock. It's true life that was always here, waiting for you to stop chasing the fireworks. And the strange thing is, once you stop chasing, life starts handing out small, simple gifts that surprisingly offer a lot more than the fireworks ever did. A bird landing nearby, laughter at nothing in particular, a fleeting moment of peace doing something mundane. This isn't joy in the old sense. It's deeper than that. It's the moment you stop needing life to prove something. So, in a world where the old narratives have collapsed, having something steady to stand on, even if it's just the bare fact of your own existence, is rare and radical and almost absurdly comforting. And that's all I've got today. As always, thanks for listening.